made a way for us to hear your voice. And Lord, I just pray that you would stir up in us that desire, Lord, to humble ourselves and seek your face. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I want to go back to 2 Chronicles 7. And I want to go ahead and work back. And I just want to lay a foundation of the altar. And its importance. Verse 12 says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if I send pestilence, if I send COVID, if I send disease," he chose that house to put his name on. There is so much here that points to the church of the living God in the year 2021. He has chose this house or this house to put his name on. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Verse 15, "Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." In this place. In your place. You see, I'm going to go backwards and show you now. This is in the time of Solomon when he took over for the kingship, if you will, from David. And David wasn't allowed to build a temple. But here's what's awesome is everything that David had in his heart, the plans for a temple, were somehow transferred to Solomon. And Solomon built what David, his father, couldn't build. But it was handed down to Solomon, and Solomon built the temple, and the Lord entered into that place, and we know the story. His presence was so heavy when they sacrificed. This is after they sacrificed unto the Lord, and they sacrificed 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. That is a sacrifice. And God moved into that place. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind to do what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, each and every day, you and I have a call from the Master to present ourselves to him. So that was handed on to Solomon, and Solomon built the temple, and the Lord moved in and put his name on it. As long as those people walked in his will, in his way, in his statutes, in his commands. And you know what? The promise has not changed. As long as we walk in his will, in his way, in his commands, in his statutes. There is a phrase in this world, it's called the cancel culture. And we cannot let that culture creep into the church because they want you to think that this service isn't important and you only need one service a week. And, well, that time at the altar, that's really not important. Pull in your toes. I remember the altar calls when I first came to this way. People sometimes were at the altar for hours. God help us if we have an agenda that in a couple minutes' time we got to pull out of here on a Sunday morning and go home. I would ask, if we don't have time to be here at the altar, what do our altars look like at home? This is not a negative message. This is a message of importance. Because the cancel culture would want you and I to feel that the altar is no longer important. But the word of the Lord tells us to not to remove the old landmarks. And the altar is just as important in 2021 as it was way back here. And I want you to know that every person in this place has had something powerful happen in their life because there was time spent at an altar. And if it wasn't you, it was someone else for you. But He is our strength, and He came, and He answered, and He delivered. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Question number one, are you a family from this earth? Hello? There's a promise. Through Abraham, you and I, according to the word of God, will be blessed. How does that happen? Abraham was a man who saw the value of an altar. Galatians 3, let's take it to the New Testament where we live. Galatians 3, verses 6 and 9 say this, even Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, me, us, that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Okay? You see the correlation? How that fits? We're going to go back to Galatians later, and you probably already know where I'm going. I made mention of a little part of this in the last message I preached, but it's so important for tonight. So back to Genesis 12, reading verses 6 through 8 now. Abram, at this time is 75 years old.
I'm not there yet.
Now, this is after he obeyed God when he spoke to him earlier in this chapter and told him to go out from his country and from his kindred. And Abraham obeyed God, and he moved and went to a place that God would show him. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto Abram, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Look at this. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto God and called upon the name of the Lord. He had a place, and here's what I want you to see. So Abram had a place early in his call from God that was between Bethel and Hai. Hai was on the east, Bethel was on the west. Bethel stands for house of God. Hai means heap of ruins or ruin heap. Abraham pitched his tent right in the middle. So he wasn't in the house of God and he wasn't in the world. But he had a place in between where he had an altar and he sought the Lord. And he wanted to hear from him for direction as far as where he should go next. Notice Hai was on the east. I know that my God is coming back in the eastern skies, and there's nothing more that the world wants to do than to distract us and pull us away from this place where we should focus on the Lord. We need the house of God. We need the altar in this place. But we also need that place where we pitch this tent in the middle of the week when we're not in the world and we're not in the house of God, where we have a place to connect with the good Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And he will be faithful. He told us tonight, he's our strength. He will talk to us. We will hear and get direction. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? So we see early in his life the value of an altar. So he pitched in Shechem. Bethel, the house of God, Hai, a heap of ruins. Genesis, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Let's go there together. We're talking about Abraham, who is still Abram. He's going to have his name changed. Anybody in here have your name changed when God called you out of your familiar surroundings? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Genesis 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Now, Abram had to go down into Egypt because there was a famine in the land. Do you remember when he told the Egyptians that Sarai, his wife, was his sister? So he did that more than once. As a matter of fact, if you read scripture, you see his son Isaac did the same thing. Application. Let's never get to the point in our walk with God that we're embarrassed to share our true intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ because we're worried about our own hide and what could happen if they knew who we were really married to. Just saying. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journey from south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. You know what? He got his hide out of the world, and he went back to the place that he had established, and he sought the Lord at the altar for his next move. You see, the New Testament tells us, and all these things happened unto them for our example. And I believe with all my heart, church, the Lord is stirring and renewing and asking us to focus and remember how important the altar is in our household, how important the altar is in the house of God, and how important it is for us to stay connected to Him through that type of a relationship. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. I remember one time I preached a message here. I took my shoes off and set them on a stool up here. Because I wasn't worried about how good my shoes looked. I wanted to preach that message in humility because I was just thankful that God would even consider using me to do something for the kingdom of God. He humbled himself as a servant, and he's asking us to do the same. Thank you, Lord. Moving on to verse 18 of that 13th chapter, it says, "And then Abraham removed his tent." Let me read verse 17. "Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee," the Lord tells him. This is yours. So what does he do? "Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre." That's what I read when we started, which stands for strength or fatness. "And built there an altar unto the Lord." Our strength comes from Him. And the only way that we can transfer that strength is to be in communication with Him. Hallelujah. Genesis 17, we see God renewing His covenant with Abraham in this chapter, and that is when it is the covenant of circumcision in his flesh. He renews after coming up out of Egypt. Abraham removed his tent and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is strength or fatness, which is in Hebron. Hebron means association. And he built there an altar. You see? Do you see? Mamre, and Hebron. Strength and association. Our strength comes from the association. Listen, this stuff isn't coincidence. God has this in His Word to show us, look, your strength is in association with me. And He is so personal with us that He spoke that to us tonight before this service even started. And I'm sure it's coincidence that this just happens to be in here. He built there an altar. This place was 20 miles north of Beersheba, near where he also built an altar. Abraham knew that altars were important. His strength was because of his association with God. Abraham was consistent with having an altar in his life. We see this throughout his life. The 13th chapter of Genesis starts and ends with him at an altar. He knew the value of the altar and the strength and favor of God it ushers into his life and the lives of his families and then the descendants which were to come, which is you and I. All because Abraham had an altar. Are you still with me? Genesis, the 24th chapter. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 24 and verse 10. Now look, in the process of time, because God made Abram a promise when he was 75 years old that he would bless him and all families of the earth would be blessed through him. And then he reestablishes the covenant in Genesis, the 18th chapter, or he renews the covenant in the 17th chapter. I'm sorry. And then he lets Abraham know that he is going to have a son. That son will be from God, not from Hagar, but it will be a son that Sarah will give birth to. Genesis 22, let me just go there quick. Remember earlier in Genesis 12 when he built an altar in Shechem, in the plain of Moreh, and what that means, which meant back or shoulders. So Shechem, where he built an altar, means back or shoulders. Moreh means the spur of a hill, or to start early in the morning, or load up the back of a man or a beast. And I'm sorry, Moreh means teacher, also a hill. And this is a place where the oak tree was when Abraham came to Moreh. And so all this stuff is strategically placed. The oak tree, the hill, the shoulders loaded down, climbing the hill. Sounds to me like Abraham and Isaac going to the top of the mount to build an altar that would be the most important altar, I believe, besides the cross that mankind would ever see. Because it was a type and a shadow of Calvary. Isaac was on his way up the hill with the wood loaded on his back. Isaac, the son, Abram, the father. One was willing to give, and the other was willing to go. I believe that the Lord asks each of us in our walk to do the same, to give and to go. Chapter 24, verse 10. This is where we're going to take a turn. And this message is going to come right into our tent. Open the door. 24 and 10 says this. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. Catch this now. You know what I love? I love the Word of God. And this isn't what I say. This is what he says. Watch this now. For all the goods of his master were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia which is actually the place of two rivers. How about our spirit meets his? He went there and he made, verse 11, his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go down to draw water. Watch this. This is so powerful. The camels were the burden bearers. He put them on their knees without the city at the time that the women would come to the well and draw. Application. The bride of Christ, humbling themselves at night, bowing at the well, and look, all the things that belong to the master are in our hands. We have access to the kingdom of God and the things of God, who is our master. And we can go to the well in humility, bearing our burdens. Man. Let's go to the 60th verse of this chapter now. You got your tent door open? All right. So, Abraham asks the servant to go and fetch a wife from his homeland and bring her back for Isaac. And he says, of course, and we have our doubts, well, what if she won't come? Don't worry about it. Then you've done what I've asked, because God will go ahead and take care of that. But he says, don't take my son hither again. You know what he's saying? Don't take him back to where God called me from. Ooh, I don't even have to go there, do I? Parents, we have a call to keep walking in the direction God asked us to walk, and not back to that mess he brought us from, because we don't want our children going back there. Whoo, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. And so he did what Abraham asked him to do. And lo and behold, the words weren't even out of his mouth, and here comes Rebecca to the well. And then he explained to her what the master asked him to do, the servant, and everything the servant did is what his master asked him to do, and God fulfilled his part. Hello? The servant did everything the master asked him to do, and God was faithful to fulfill his part. And so they exchange pleasantries, and he gives her earrings and bracelets and things, and explains to her what God did and how this all happened and who are you, and she happens to be of Abraham's household. And then he goes to the house and they talk, and he wants to take Rebecca back. And they said, well, tarry here for a while. No, let me go to my master. He asked me to do this, and I wanna get back there. And so they say, well, bring the girl here so we can ask her. It says, verse 59, it says, are at 58, and they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. Now watch this, verse 60. Open your tent doors, here he comes. And they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Watch. So there's problems in my life. Dealing with pain, dealing with certain situations and processes and family things that distract and work things that distract and going to that altar and seeking the Lord and wondering, does he know where I am? Have you heard me, Lord? And God spoke directly to my wife a couple Sundays ago right here at the altar. She had a good time in God and was I got blessed watching her get blessed. And she told me, God is going to restore you completely in his time. And I had the audacity to mutter the words, I'm tired of the process. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of going through things day after day and not, did I just walk down them steps? Hallelujah. But I'm tired of the process. So the next morning I'm sitting at 4 a.m. sitting at my altar place, which is now a dining room chair because I can't sit on the love seat anymore because I'm old. So I read this scripture. I'm sitting at my tent door, meditating on the word of God. And all of a sudden I read this scripture where thou art our sister and be the mother, the what? Of thousands of millions. And let the gates, let you possess the gates of those who hate you, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Pastor Schumacher preached the message, eat my dust. We are winning this thing, but it's in God's time, not ours. And here's what God showed me in that. Do you see that there? That is your salvation. Hundreds of thousands of millions. I had your salvation taken care of thousands of years before you even got here. So am I working in your process. I got this. I know where you are. I know what you're going through. I took care of your salvation thousands and thousands of years before you even arrived. Yes, I know you're in pain. Yes, I know there's situations in your life. And let you have dominion over the gates of them that hate you. Let your seed, okay, seed, Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise, that's us. Twofold, the seed, the word, the things we teach, the things we tell those of the goodness of God also has authority to take care of the gates of those that hate us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. When you speak the word of God, it will have the effect that he wants it to have. He'll take care of it. It don't matter what they think of it. It don't matter what they do or when they do it. The word of God is all authority. The seed, will have authority even over the gates of those that hate us. Verse 62, and Isaac, so while this is happening, and they send Rebekah away, Isaac came from the way of the well Laharoi. For he dwelt in the south country, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Do you know the well, Laharoi, where he came from? That means well of the living one seeing me. And Isaac was praying. Was he praying about a wife? Was he praying about his life being fulfilled? And he was meditating in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes, and behold, the camels came. Before he was even done praying, the answer was on the way. When the servant went there, before he even finished praying at the well, Rebecca was on the way. The answer was coming. I'm talking to somebody right now who has something going on in your life, and you are in the process of time. And I'm here to tell you tonight, he's got it. He's got your situation in hand. He knows where you're at. He knows what it'll take. And he is faithful to do it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm already ahead of your situation. Way ahead of your situation.
Thank you, Lord.
See, he told Abraham this, walk before me and be thou perfect. How are we perfect? No, we're not. But watch this. What did he say first? Walk before me and be thou perfect. Get at the altar. Communicate with me. Talk with me. Walk before me and be thou perfect. When we are in communication with him and connected with him, we're a lot better off than we were if we don't. The Lord sent an angel and told Cornelius, thy prayers and thy alms have come up before me as a memorial. Your prayers at your altar, in your place, go up to him and they mean something to him. And he hears them and he will take care of them. Because you are a servant of the Almighty God, you have access to everything of the Master's house. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me tonight? How important is the altar? We love to go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, don't we? The faith chapter. Guess what it starts with? By faith. By faith. Abel bought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. But watch this. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Now look at this. God testifying. Can you imagine God testifying for us? God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. What did he say? He asked Cain, what have you done with your brother? His blood crieth to me from the ground. Pastor Portman, I thought of you when I read that. I remember you telling us how when our bones break, how there's a sound wave that it sends to the body that says, hey, I'm broken here. I need to be fixed. Guess what? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And I'm going to take the shortcut because that Galatians 3, 26 through 29 goes on to say, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. His blood's on us. It cries from this ground. It speaks to him. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Woo! Eat my dust, devil. I have the blood of the one who has won all the battles. And I have access to his kingdom. Yes. We have access to his kingdom. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against us.
Thank you for your word. Hallelujah.
Please, 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 as you come tonight to this altar. Remember the chairs. They're there for a reason. Set up an altar at home. We have to have that place in that middle ground where we connect with Him, the one who gives us access to everything we need. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The altar is open.